Well, good morning, everyone. Nice to be here. My name is Franklin Egan. I serve as the education director for a farmers organization in Pennsylvania called the Pennsylvania Association for Sustainable Agriculture. Just a little bit about our group. We've been around since 1992. We are a membership organization with about 6,400 members, mostly in Pennsylvania, but we do have a presence in neighboring states, Ohio, Maryland, New York, so forth. We are primarily a farmers organization. About half of our members are farmers, about 13% aspiring farmers, which is really nice to have both young people and second career folks interested in our organization and working with us as they try and develop farm aspirations. And then we also have a big kind of membership chunk of entrepreneurs and researchers and agency folks, as well as, you know, families and consumers and, you know, people that like to eat. So we have you know, this great kind of community that spans you know, farm to fork, so to speak. Our main mission as an organization is farmer education. We have a long history of doing field days, a big annual farmer education conference, and a few years ago we raised some money through a capital campaign to really ramp up our educational programs, and we called that effort the Soil Institute. And one of the big pushes was creating a farm-based research program, which I'll talk a little bit about today. So we're not an organic ag organization, although a lot of our farmer members are organic. We are a sustainable agriculture organization, but that leaves a big question as to, okay, what is sustainable agriculture, and how do we define that? You know, historically, we've always tried to have kind of a big tent perspective on that term, but now moving forward with our research, we really want to put some numbers behind sustainability and have evidence and benchmarks for the work our farmers are doing. So, last fall, we organized a series of focus groups with farmers across Pennsylvania, across our membership, basically just sitting down and asking them, you know, if you wanted to measure the sustainability of your operations, what would you look at? And these conversations were really clarifying. We talked with a lot of different farmers at different scales, vegetable farmers, livestock farmers, dairy farmers. And they're pretty much all saying the same things, that to them, sustainability was about 3 points. It was about financial viability, it was about soil health, and it was about producing a nutrient-dense product, producing you know, really high-quality, nutritious food. And so obviously those are all very deeply interlinked. You know, you need soil health to produce nutritional food. You need a good product, particularly for small farmers in the Northeast to stay in business, and you need soil health to drive all of that. So a lot of really important interconnections here, and we decided to jump in with our research program focusing on that soil health piece as kind of the foundation of it all. So last fall and summer, we began what we've become to call our benchmark soil health study, and this was basically a simple project designed to understand how our farmers are doing with soil health, and then hopefully start some good conversations about what we could do to get better. We designed a protocol to do this assessment, working with soil scientists at Penn State, Charlie White and Christy Borelli. And it was basically two components. We took field soil samples last year from a single kind of case study field on each farm. And then we asked the farmers to submit a lot of farm records about practices that influence soil health. So their tillage and cultivation, planting dates, and for cover cropping and so forth, and soil amendments. Some of these farmers were using a smartphone app to track all their records and do their farm management, an application called Farm Data that one of our members at Dickinson College actually developed. But a lot of our members were using paper systems or Excel spreadsheets or whatever. We just ask for the records and then make sense of it later. So we pulled these two pieces together. We worked with 12 farms last year, focusing on organic vegetable farms. That's kind of the biggest chunk of our membership is small to mid-size vegetable operations, typically doing CSAs or farm markets or some wholesale contracts. Got a pretty good sample of soil types and geography across Pennsylvania. You can see it's mostly in the southern half. The northern part of the state is mostly forest, so that's where the farms are in the southern tier. We sent our soil samples off to Cornell for the Cornell Comprehensive Assessment of Soil Health. Really liked this test for our purposes, both because you get a full suite of biological, physical, and chemical indicators. But I find Cornell's approach is really helpful because they will they grade your soils on a curve, right? They look at a soil sample compared to similarly textured soil samples, and they give you a rating for different indicators on this 0 to 100 scale, from really constrained, troubled soils to optimal soils, and then, right there in the middle is a kind of a statistical mean, and they call that suboptimal. So, Cornell being an Ivy League institution, they call average suboptimal. Can make that joke as a Cornell grad with suboptimal grades. So that's the soil test part, and then the farm record parts. We looked at all of their planting dates and termination dates across the season and summed up days of living cover. So, for instance, a cover crop planted over the whole field for the fall months would be 100% cover for that duration. You might have an instance where farmers had clover in the pathways and then pulled out the cash crop like tomatoes, and then so for a period of time you might have 50% living cover over the field. Then we looked at all of their tillage and implements, cultivation implements, and we used data from the NRCS. I think it's through the Russell model to come up with an index for each implement. So a disc plow would get a score of 1. And some lighter disturbance like a tine weeder would be a score of 0.5. And so overall we found that this community of farmers is doing some pretty impressive things for soil health. This is the means from this initial sample size of 12 farms, but I think some pretty promising data here. So we found that the farmers are maintaining living cover for 225 days of the year. And to put that in perspective, a corn-soybean rotation in Pennsylvania without cover crops, which is still most of our row crop acreage, would be about 156 days. We found an average soil organic matter of 3.3%, and we compared that to the NRCS benchmark for that soil type. And that was on average about 2.7%, so some improvement over the baseline expectation for the soil. And then on average, the farms had a soil health score of 71, with again 50 being the mean. So pretty great results. We're starting to experiment with graphics like these to try and help our farmers tell their customers about what they're doing for soil health. So. Get kind of the word out to their CSA customers or their wholesale contacts about what they are actually doing and achieving for sustainability on the ground. So those are the means, but of course it's a distribution. So you look at the overall Cornell soil health scores on these 12 farms, and you see a range. And we see this cluster of really pretty amazing farms up in the optimal category. And so one of the real points of this project is that we could return this data to the individual farmers to help them see where they are relative to their peers. But then also we can do field days on these excellent farms, and we can really use the soil health test data and the indicator data to get kind of under the hood of those operations and start talking about their soil health operations in a more data-driven way. So we had an example of this just last month. Had a really big, successful full-day field day at Spiral Path Farm, which is one of our kind of largest and most successful organic veg growers in central Pennsylvania, and really spent the day using soil test data to go from start to finish to understand what they're doing to build soil health. And we looked at their organic matter ratings. Their fields are rated for about 2%. They're now up to over 5% organic matter on their farms, and that's been a slow, steady build from when they started in the 80s all the way up to now, where they're averaging 5.6% organic matter. We looked at the different indicators from the Cornell soil health test, both the good stuff and the more challenged stuff. This farm had issues with aggregate stability, which you would expect from tillage on organic farms. Really thriving scores for soil respiration, for minor elements, and for their overall soil health score. An issue with phosphorus, really very high phosphorus levels in the soils, from a legacy of hog farming on this farm back in the 80s, so that kind of indicates how long it takes to deal with phosphorus saturation. And then we talked about our indicators from the management. So we found that this farm was really our leader in days in living cover, maintaining cover for 320 days of the year. They were also our leader in terms of tillage. A tillage score of 9 for the season with multiple passes of the disc plow and some pretty intense soil disturbance. So looking through the data and talking at length with the farmers, Will and Mike Brownbeck, we kind of distilled for this field day really three principles that they apply very consistently on their farm. The first is healthy crops grow healthy soil. And I think maybe that sounds like a really obvious statement, but it's also kind of a subtle inversion the way they apply it on their farm. And we typically talk about, research and extension typically talks about soil health as you want soil health so that you can get a healthy crop or a high yield. But it also works the opposite way, right? If you are continually maintaining very healthy crops, those crops are building soil as they grow and produce yield. So that's something they really focus on is using their vegetable crops as a tool for building soil health. They're very intensive both in their cash cropping, very often double cropping vegetables, but also very, very diligent about cover cropping, fitting cover crops into every possible window, both in space and time of the farm. And then the last thing they really push on their farm is they do have to till as an organic farm, but they are very thoughtful about making sure soil conditions are appropriate, really trying to avoid soils that are too wet for tillage or other machinery applications. This past spring, we had a lot of rain in Pennsylvania in May and June. They actually decided to go out and hand transplant with their field crew 20,000 tomato transplants because they didn't want to get a water wheel transplanter on the field and risk compaction. So really kind of an ethic there. We focused throughout the field day on these different systems and kind of talked about how they build that top to bottom, starting with a very kind of well-engineered compost system that is not designed to be a source of macronutrients, but really a source of soil biology. And they use that to actually apply to their cover crops in the spring and prime the cover crops for soil building. They have really well dialed in greenhouse cultural practices and a well-engineered potting mix from vermin compost that they have developed that sets the crops up with optimal transplant health, really about that healthy crops build healthy soil mentality. I mentioned their crop rotations, and then they're very diligent throughout the year in keeping the crops at optimal health for soil building. Pretty intensive on the organic scale in terms of inputs, using OMRI-approved fertilizers as well as pest control products. This was one of the more interesting field days that I've been a part of at PASA. It was really refreshing to be able to do something like this and talk about it, not just the level of kind of anecdote and this is what we're doing, but to have numbers and soil test data behind everything that the Brownbacks were featuring and explaining on their farm. We hope to do a lot more of this kind of education as we move forward with our research program. So I just want to close with some interesting data, and I realize I have 12 data points at this farm at this point, and we're really looking to grow this project. But I think there's some interesting things here with regard to the question of balancing tillage and soil health. We all know that organic farmers use tillage for weed control, and it's a real challenge in organic farming. But at least among this community of farmers, we definitely saw examples where pretty intensive soil health or pretty intensive tillage is being very well balanced with soil health. And you can see there's really no correlation to speak of there in the tillage index and the soil health scores. Usually when I show this data, people say, well yeah, that's because they're just really loading the soil up with manure or compost or some other organic matter subsidy. But we haven't really seen that either at this point. We looking at total what I would call organic matter subsidies on these different farms. Again, not really a pattern of that driving soil health. There's a lot of different things going on. And looking at these farms, I think we see kind of two main case studies, two broad strategies for soil health. One I would call the healthy crops, healthy soils approach, which the spiral path farmers use. And then the other kind of broad one that really seems to get soil health scores up into the 80s would be a kind of a rest and recover approach, where farmers have a 2 to 4 year schedule of intensive vegetable production, and then a full 1 to 2 year rest of hay production, maybe just to cover crop fallow. So we're really looking forward to moving this project forward. We had 12 farms last year. We've grown that to 27 farms this year, and just this past month wrapped up the soil sampling. Doing sampling and getting records now from 3 fields per farm, so we get a more kind of comprehensive look at the system. And at our conference, at our field days throughout the year, are looking forward to having soil test data and on-farm data drive what we're talking about and how we do our farmer-to-farmer education. So thanks for your time. I have with me some reports, annual reports about PASA's work, if anybody wants to learn more about our organization and what we're doing. So thank you.